message that we had 2 weeks ago. I only had half the message last week and 2 weeks ago, and we'll finish that up this week. Psalm 37, verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, do good, so thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And then over to verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray that you will help me as we begin to preach in a little bit, that your word will go forth clearly, and folks will understand its truth, be able to apply it to our lives, that we may walk in thy presence and walk before this world as a testimony of Christ in this world system. We pray that you would bless the offering this morning that is given. We pray you'll bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals once again and turn to number 76. 76, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Number 76. Thank you.
My New Year's resolution is to be doing my Christmas music in December, but I was thinking of what to do with music, and God has laid this on my heart all year. It is a Christmas theme, but the recurring theme through is Hallelujah, which is two Hebrew words, Hallelujah, which means praise your soul, and Yah, which is you, your soul to God. And last year, the lesson that God really taught me was not to ask why
or why not, but to just praise him to where he has me at. So this is that song, and we'll see. I'm the first one to bring my music on a thumb drive, so we're testing the sound guys today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
2019, let's let Hallelujah be the theme of the year and praise God no matter what we all go through.
Thank you, Abby. I do appreciate that. I have read that Hallelujah, the word, is one of the few words that is understood in every language and culture. Hallelujah. That they all understand that it means praise the Lord. Great. Thank you so much. All right. Just by way of review, we're back here in Psalm 37. You recall that this is a teaching psalm, and it helps answer the question that has to do sometimes that arises with the why concerning the prosperity of the wicked.
The Jews were of the mindset that the
blessings of God were associated with personal righteousness, and that when bad things happened, it was due to some kind of sin in your life. Job's is an example. You remember the story of Job. When bad things happened in Job's life, though God describes him in Job chapter 1 as a righteous man who feared and shunned evil, when the bad things happened and Job lost all, when his friends showed up, they began to point out to him, well, Job, it must be because you have sinned that all this evil is come upon you. Job would justify himself, saying, no, that's not the case. I don't know what it is, but it's not that. Well, Job, you must have some secret sin in your life. And they kept making excuses and pointing back to there must be sin in a person's life because he is experiencing adversity. Well, you remember also in John chapter 9, when the disciples asked Jesus about the man who was born blind, they said, who did sin, this man or his parents? They believe that bad things happen when people sin. Now, partially that is certainly true. We are inclined to think that also, but we forget sometimes that while God does indeed deal with sin in our lives, and He corrects us out of love, and He chastens us because we are His, neither blessings nor cursings are always indicative of particular sin. Sometimes negative circumstances are experienced simply for our learning, for our education. Remember Romans 8:28? I may remember Romans 8:28. Quote it for me while I charge the windmill. Yeah. Paul said, we know that all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but they work together for good because God's in control of our lives. He has a plan and a purpose. So we have seen that here, In this text, in Psalm 37, we are admonished, first of all, to fret not. Don't be inflamed with anger. Don't get hot under the collar. Don't get frustrated. It describes the state of mind that comes upon us when we are worried or we are envious due to the prosperity or the seeming success of someone else, or something happens that just kind of rubs us the wrong way. He says here, stop rubbing sticks together. That's the original meaning in the Hebrew, to rub together. We rub sticks together to cause friction. And if you rub them long enough and hard enough, it causes a spark and a fire. He says, fret not. Stop rubbing sticks together. But rather, trust in the Lord. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell confidently and feed on the truth. Don't let Satan hinder you from doing what is good and what is right. Regardless of the circumstances, don't retaliate. Just do right, trusting in the Lord. feed on the truth of God's word and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So fret not, trust in the Lord. And then it says, doing good, he says, follow the right course instead of giving way to anger. Dwell in confidence. Don't let fake news upset you. Feed on the truth. Then delight yourself in the Lord. Find pleasure in who He is, not just in what He can do for you. We've got this whole mindset in one realm of Christianity that God exists just to please us. That's not true. God is not a genie in a bottle that we rub the right way and get granted three wishes. He's not waiting our commands. In spite of our circumstances, we have to learn to find contentment in our relationship with the Lord. That's what's most important. The parable of the rich farmer who had great crops one year. He tore down all of his existing storage barns and he built new ones and put all of his crops in there. And he said, kick back, take it easy. I'm going to retire. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem was he had prepared to live, but he hadn't prepared to die. And that night his soul was required of him. He did not delight himself in a relationship with the Lord. David came home one time from battle, and he came back to Ziklag, and he found that the enemy had come in his absence and had taken his wife and his children captive, and many of the other men that were with him had taken their wives captive, and they burned the city. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He had lost everything that a man could lose except his relationship with his God. See? And so that's the idea here of delighting ourselves in the Lord. Life events are ever changing. And they cause us to get upset when our status quo is out of kilter, when things are not going as we would have them go. We get into routine of things and they go along pretty well and we're content and we're happy as long as things are pretty much going our way. But once in a while, something happens that disrupts our status quo. But nothing can change our relationship with the Lord. He is still the Lord. He is still on the throne. He is still the great I Am. He is still constant in all situations. He's always there. He's never absent. When you go to Him, He find Him there. Verses 5 and 6 then said, commit thy way unto the Lord. The word here in the Hebrew, the word commit, means to roll upon. Roll your way upon the Lord. It's the idea of rolling or transferring a heavy burden from ourselves onto another. It's laying it on another person so that he can bear the burden. Taking on somebody else's pack. Shouldering somebody else's burden. See, there are burdens that we do not have strong enough shoulders to bear. But we can lay them on the Lord our God. Psalm 55 and verse 22, the psalmist writes, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So he says here in verses 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord. Roll it upon the Lord. The phrase way here, thy way, is the act of going. It's your path. It's the way in which you are walking. It's your course of life. It's our plans It's our conduct that issues from those plans. Ultimately, it refers to one's destiny, your future. Commit it, roll it upon the Lord, let Him take care of it. That's what we tend to do, though, is to worry about things. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was telling them, you know what you guys are worried about? What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You're worried about all of these things that the Father has promised to give to you. He said, look out at the field, look at the flowers, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Look at the birds, they are fed by the Father, they don't worry about anything. He says, you need just to trust your Father, commit your way unto Him. He's got your back, He knows what He's doing, He has your future well in hand. But what we do is we worry. We worry. We wonder. The very things we worry about usually are the very things God has already promised to give us. So when we're properly committed and trusting Him for our future, then verse 7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Don't fret. This is a quiet resignation of mind which rests on God and submits to His will. Can you rest in the Lord? I've got too much to do to rest. Now can you rest in the Lord? You can still be busy about your business, but resting confidently in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, be careful for nothing. The word careful there means to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He said, worry about nothing, but pray about everything. What's the result? Verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word keep there means to guard. Will guard your heart, your seat of emotions. You see, when you have committed yourself, your soul, your eternity, your day-to-day life, your future, when you've committed all of that to the Lord, He gives you peace and you can rest in Him, come what may. Rather than resting, rather than waiting, you know what we are? We say, oh yeah, I'll take my burden to the Lord. And so we'll get whatever is bothering us, what's on our mind, whatever's on our heart, whatever our circumstances is, and we'll say, okay, Lord, here's my burden. I'm going to put it at your feet. There it is. I'm going to cast my cares upon you because you've promised to care for me. So there it is. I've given it to you. Well, if you're not going to do anything with it, I'll just pick it up and take it back myself. And that's about as much time as we give Him. Lord, here's my problem, but if you don't deal with it almost immediately, I guess I'll just have to do it myself. Huh? You're honest with it? Is that true? That's the way we are. Wait patiently, he says. I admit, I'm not a patient waiter. I am an impatient waiter. I'm not even a waiter at all. I'm like that. Here it is, Lord. Okay, well, I guess I'm supposed to deal with this myself. I don't like stoplights. I'm glad that we live in a county that has no stoplights. You got to go clear to Shadron to find a stoplight. And every time I go through Shadron, I get stopped right there. If there is a car, no car in front of me, I will make a right turn, go around the block, and usually get caught at the next stoplight. But you know, at the stop sign, because the car that was behind me is now in front of me. But I just like to keep moving. But he says, wait patiently. To wait patiently, we have to follow God's leading in our way. Not force it. Follow, not force it. We have to submit to His divine wisdom, not prescribe it for God. Now, sometimes in this process of waiting, we find that the reason in the waiting is God wants to change our wanter. We want certain things to happen in a certain time, in a certain way, for our good pleasure. And God, who knows best, not just better, He knows best, says, you need to wait because I'm going to change your attitude in this process. I'm going to change your wanter. What you want now is not what you really need. I'm going to put you through a time of waiting because it takes time to change your wanter. And as He begins to change our desires and our wants, we begin to see that what He wants is indeed ultimately better for us than what we want. And it says, then He shall bring it to pass. Whatever it is that we have laid on Him, we have rolled on Him, we have committed on Him, as far as our futures and our circumstances, whatever it is we've committed to Him will result in our good and His glory. What God does, He does for His glory. Do we get things mixed up? I said earlier, we think that God exists for our pleasure. No, we exist for His pleasure. See, this book, we think it's about us. It's not. It's about God. It's what God does in spite of us. Oh, there's a lot of stuff He does for us and a lot of stuff He does with us and all of that. But ultimately, the Bible is a book about God. It speaks of man, but it's about what God has done and what He is doing and what He will ultimately do. It's a book about God. Creation is God's divine look at me through what I have done. It's not about us. It's about Him. Salvation is not all about man. Now, the Bible tells us about man's need of salvation because of sin. It tells us how to get saved through repenting of our sin and trusting Christ as our Savior and committing ourselves with Him. I mean, it tells us all about salvation, but ultimately that salvation is itself not about man as much as it is about God. For His glory. Now, we also quickly here admonished in verses 8 and 9 to cease from anger, and there it is again, wait patiently upon the Lord. See, it's all in reference to the fact that we indeed are sinful people. And that sometimes, I mean, all the time, God allows people to carry out their plans. And we have to remember that bad things do happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. But we must not allow our minds to be excited with envy or fretfulness or anger or murmuring or anger towards God because He bears patiently with all men, saint and sinner alike. We ought not get upset because there are those who appear to temporarily prosper and even triumph. We need to be calm. Whatever may be the condition of this world, the supreme direction belongs to God. And God will deal with it in its time, in its best way. He's the ultimate judge. The big turmoil's going on in Washington with the government shut down and this one blaming that one and these, all of that kind of thing. You know what? God's got it all sorted out. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He is working it according to His plan. Sometimes He allows these things to happen for His reasoning. We just trust Him. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Wait patiently on the Lord. He tells us there in verses 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The idea here is that everything that pertains to you in your life journey is directed, it's ordered, it's fitted, it is arranged by the Lord. We don't always understand it. We don't always like it. But our course of life is under the divine guidance and control of God. God. He's got His hand on you. Psalm 139 reminds us so clearly He has set us before and behind, and His hand is upon us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way, though he fall. That is, though we might sometimes be disappointed, though we may not always be successful, though we may be unfortunate, yet God, this will not be our final destiny. The image, the idea is of a man who's walking along a journey. Though he may stumble, he shall not utterly be cast down. The word used here means to throw down at full length. To throw away, to cast out. It means that he would not be utterly and finally knocked down so that he could not rise again. The calamity would be temporary and there would be ultimate blessing connected with it. You might get knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Proverbs 24:16 says a just man falls seven times and rises again. You may face difficulties. You may face heartache. You may face disaster. But if you're trying to walk with the Lord, you may get knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. It is by no power of our own that we are recovered, but because when we fall, we are held by God's great unseen hand. Don't forget, and I think we often do, don't forget, we are not just human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience, but rather we are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. We are, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again. You are born from above. You are spiritually reborn. And this life is temporal. You have life eternal. What we are going through now is a temporal, physical existence. Last Thursday, we said goodbye to Brother Mike Walters. He did not cease to exist last Sunday morning. In fact, life began. Eternal life, real life, the spiritual life. That was born in him when he trusted Christ as his Savior. This physical life just ran its course, as it will for all of us. We're just here for a short time in comparison to eternity. So we are not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. Because the believer's ultimate end is not on earth, but in heaven. Paul I think he's Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I think Paul is the author of Hebrews. He wrote in chapter 13, verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." This ain't all there is. We're going to face hard times. We're going to face difficult times. It's how we live during these difficult times. And David said here in this psalm, I want to teach you something. He says about life itself, I don't want you to fret because of evildoers. I want you to trust in the Lord. While you're trusting in the Lord, delight in Him. Commit your way to the Lord. He's got your back. Rest in the Lord. Wait on Him to do what He's planning to do. Stop being angry and upset. Don't get mad. Don't get fretful. Just wait on the Lord, because the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord, and He is delighting in the way. Annie Johnson Flint wrote these words, became a hymn. The title is "What God Has Promised." It starts out in a negative vein. It says, "God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, and peace without pain. God has not promised what shall not know, that we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. God has not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. God has not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, needing no guide. Never a mountain rocky and steep, never a river turbid and deep. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, and undying love." Don't worry about what is not. Focus on what is, what God has done, what He is doing, and what He yet will do. Father, we've looked into Your Word once again. My words are insignificant. Your words are what is significant. Take Your word, because it is living, and continue to speak to our hearts long after this service is ended. Holy Spirit, water the seed that has been planted. May it bring forth fruit for Your glory. If there's someone here who does not know Christ as their Savior, make it plain to them of their need today. Convict their heart of their sin of unbelief, that they may turn to You in simple faith. If there are those not walking closely in Your way, if there are those who are struggling and fretting and stewing about circumstances of life, help them to draw close to You, to roll their burdens upon You, commit their way unto You, and rest in You. Now that rest comes through confidence. Confidence comes through experience. And experience is what You teach us through the difficulties of life. So if there are those who are struggling with situations and circumstances, may they learn from them. May they learn through these difficulties and frustrations that they can come to You. Now, You may show us and teach us why these circumstances. Sometimes we bring circumstances of negative on ourselves because of poor decisions. And yet, Romans 8:28 is still in the book. "And so do Your work in our hearts. Bring the lost to Yourself in salvation. Bring the saved closer to You in sanctification and growth in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen." Would you take your hymnal now and turn to number 460. 460. Stand with me if you're able. 460. through the Spirit.